diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 314 of Fourth and Drawn. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Primo, and Mr. Damn Skippy, a.k.a. Hollis Thomas, in the building. Tonight, we're talking about the Eagles versus Commanders preview. You know, we saw this already this season. So this is part two of the ass whooping. Obviously, Washington fans are going to tell you what they're going to do to the Eagles. It's a different team. It's a different quarterback. But at the end of the day, this Eagles team has been riding high. They've been doing things that they haven't done in past years. They've been breaking their own personal bests. We have Jalen Hurts, who's been playing phenomenal MVP-style football. Again, this team has been riding high. And each week, they're finding ways to win. And this is what a good football team does. So I'm at the end of the day, I'm going to say it out. I'm going to get it out there in the very opening.
Say it with your chest.
We whooping that ass. Yes. Evan, welcome
hey guys,
back. Evan.
Guys,
welcome
remember back, me? Evan.
Yeah, hey, buddy.
Yeah, so, yeah. I had a little bit of a hiatus. The work's been a little bit hectic recently. I've been, you know, checking into the shows whenever I can. But let's be real, guys. Like, not much. I haven't missed much. It's all been dubs. It's all been looking good. Things are looking great right now. And I know in the back of my mind that these Washington Commander fans already have their excuse locked and loaded. They may be talking their shit right now, but all that news that just broke today about their ownership and all the hot water that they're in, they've already got, oh, well, you beat Washington on the week that they're dealing with owner discrepancy. So that's the excuse. Ready to go. I agree with you, Gail. I think it's an absolute ass whooping this week. I think that we are at a tier of our own with this Philadelphia Eagles team. Our offense moves at will. Our defense is one of the best in the league, top three defense in the league. And I don't think that there's many other teams in this NFL that can say that. Everybody's been all high on the Buffalo Bills, on the Kansas City Chiefs, but I mean, dude. Buffalo lost to the New York Jets this week. New York Jets are turning it on a little bit, but let's be real. That definitely knocked down the Bills a little bit in my mind. So where I stand is we're the best team in the league. I don't fear nobody.
Daniel fans? All the way to Sweden saying he set his alarm to be able to see
you good. Appreciate you, Daniel. Appreciate
like,
you, Daniel.
Like, first of all, welcome you back, Ev Love.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
We missed your playful banter.
I missed you guys.
And the one thing that I did notice, I went back and looked at the previous game that we played, the haters can't stand us, the Commanders. I went back and looked at the game, and there was nothing. The only thing that they have different coming into this game is Tyler Heineken. Is it Heineken? Is that how you say
Heineken.
His name?
I called him Heineken.
Heineken.
You call
Tyler Heineken. He's a little bit of a difference maker. I think they believe in him. So it's even though I know we're going to kick the crap out of him, it's going to be a little bit more difficult task. But they still have let's see, the offensive line is less than Swiss cheese. It's just like a sieve like right now because Heineke is pretty much running for his life on a play by play basis, and they can't really get anything going in the run game. So I know all the offensive line is pigeons, especially the interior because he's getting. If as a defensive coordinator who likes to be feared, it's what we call clear and present danger. That means that it's coming up the gut. Coming up the gut fast, early, and often. So he threw some touchdown passes last week on some prayers. Thank the back judge for knocking out one of the Minnesota Vikings DBs. That was hilarious. If you haven't seen that play, I suggest you take a gander at it. But it's just like it's just like last week when I was with Gail last week and I didn't want to load the sleigh up with stuff in there, but I'm loading the sleigh up this week. I'm singing out loud. I'm not lip syncing. The Santa sleigh is going to get out the ground because I'm singing out loud. That's my early report right now. I'm still looking at a few highlights on my trusty laptop over to the side here, and not porn, but you know,
I believe you.
But I think we're going to throttle them, and I think this is the time to break out don't we get to break out some Kelly Green uniforms or something sometime this year?
It would be nice, man. It would be nice for them to go ahead and pull those things out. Yeah, I mean,
it was one more thing I had to add, Prime. You know, they had in 1991 when they had a chance to be the great, one of the greatest offensive lines ever to have their quarterback sacked the fewest ever. They came here to play here in Philadelphia, and we stopped them. They was one sack away from getting it. And William Thomas, one of my former teammates, he got the sack on Mark Griffin, who was actually ended up being one of my teammates when I first got here, which was funny as hell, because if you saw that game, they were fighting tooth and nail. You would have thought that they were the Dallas Cowboys. So, but what that brought to my attention was the NFC East, no matter who it is and who you're playing against, if it's a division game, it's a war. So just get ready for a war, fellas.
It's funny that you brought that up, man, because I was actually watching some clips of that game last night. As I was watching some 4th and John clips from many years ago. So, yeah, that was one of the games that popped up. I mean, this week's been interesting because I got a few Commander fans at my job. So they've been running their mouths. You know what I mean? They're actually excited on the way Heineken is playing. Yeah, he's wait, right Commander now. Fans? He's definitely – well, I mean, hey, listen, it is what it is. They got to have some type of hope because right now shit ain't going their way. But they are. He's definitely a step up from the way Wentz is playing, and it's crazy that I'm saying that because for somebody that was a big supporter of Wentz back in the day, I mean the man is just not the same. I know some people were talking about, hey, is he even going to come back this week to go ahead and play? I actually don't even want to see him play. I actually want to go ahead and play against Heineken. I mean, I know you do because you want to get that home crowd. You want to hear those boos chatting.
All pro Wentz hater, right?
I got you.
I read your profile this morning.
but the crazy part about it is like I'm actually okay with it because it's just like the way everything's scripted up. We play both quarterbacks against the Commanders. We're about to play both quarterbacks against the Cowboys. Daniel Jones, I don't know. We still got two games against them. So it's just like, I don't want to hear no excuses. You know what I mean? Hey, we had Wentz at the time, or we got Heineken this time. So it's just like, all right, well, we played both of them. So what else is now your excuse? I mean, Evan came up with a great excuse in the beginning of the show. Is it because of the fact that your ownership, your team is falling apart? Is it that weak? Hey, I mean, yeah, it's loaded up. It's in the chamber, ready to go to be used as one of the biggest excuses for after this L that we're about to go ahead and give these guys. It's going to be an ass whip. It's a prime time game, with Club John. It's going to be an exciting Monday, man. So I'm looking forward to it,
Damn, skippy.
And I could tell you from past experience, completely unrelated to the game, I might be the first person in that lot because you are out of your mind if you think I'm lugging that grill from the Philadelphia's Phillies lot again. It ain't happening. Oh, man. I'm going to be the first person
I'm glad you got inspired by that shit. Man.
Anyone coming to the stadium
we're just
going to warn you guys that you have to get there early or they're going to lock you out of the lot and it's going to be a bad scene. Just get down there early.
That's it.
Get down there early. We'll be tailgating in lot G2. Ooh, G2? That's a wrong time right there.
That definitely is a wrong time.
Wrong time.
You might have to change that.
We might as well get into it. We're talking about the preview. We'll start with the quarterback. I know, Prime, you mentioned Heineken or Mr. AKA. He's a teammate of our long snapper.
Is it me or does he have like? I don't know. Is it me or does it look like he already has an L on the front of his face there? Like already set.
Yeah. Taylor Heineke, he's the dude that he's kind of a gutsy dude. He'll make some off balance throws. He'll step into the eyes of danger, and he'll throw one up. He'll chuck them up there. I think what he. After each W, he goes out and buys some Jordans. That's a nice story as a sneakerhead. I like that. But that's all about it. That's all he's got. I think he's going up against a strong defense. And I think if he likes to chuck them up, I don't know if he's noticed, but our cornerbacks are picking them off at a very high rate. So what's your feels on Heineke?
Taylor Heineke to me is a guy that is – he's – I don't want this to come across the wrong way, but he's an underrated quarterback in the sense that he can do well against bad teams. He can do well against bad defenses. And I think he is a step up from Carson Wentz as we stand right now today. With that being said, I don't think he's good enough to do well against good defenses. And I think that's exactly – he's walking into a buzzsaw this weekend. He's been having some recent success. He's thinking that's going to spill over into this weekend, and then he's going to get smacked in the face with the best defense in the league. I think that this is going to be more turnovers. I think we're going to continue to build a positive turnover differential. And, I think that this game could pretty much be wrapped up by halftime, if I'm being real with you.
The difference that I see about from him is that he's definitely going to be running, he's going to be running his ass off. I mean, unlike Wentz staying in the pocket, getting sacked and everything, Heineken's going to definitely be running around.
He's
like
not fast enough, though, man. He's not.
He's not. You're absolutely right. But then, like you mentioned, he's going to throw that ball up. I mean, he had some lucky-ass receptions.
Yeah.
Some lucky-ass throws last week. He had that real big one against Samuel. I mean, I watched it. I literally was there watching that game, and right between three defenders, I think it was three defenders.
It was actually four defenders.
Was it four defenders? I mean, look at that.
The official knocked one of the men.
That's right. That's right. Out. That's what it was. You're right. You're absolutely right. It was four defenders, thanks to the assist of the referee. You know what I mean? But those are the type of things that like he can't do against this defense. We're talking about one of the best secondaries in the league right now. Matter of fact, I'm sorry. Let me reiterate that the best secondary in the league. Try that shit with us. It's not going to happen. You're not going to go ahead and get that lucky on Monday night. We're going to shut that shit down. I mean, I agree with you, Evan. I see a whole bunch of turnovers. Last game was all about sacks. This game is going to be all about turnovers, regardless if it's going to be in the air or on the ground. I see these guys going to work. So, you know what I mean? Luckily, I got Philadelphia Eagles on my fantasy team. So I'm expecting some serious points from these guys.
Well, Taylor Heineke, Tyler. I don't know why I want to call him Taylor.
Right now, you can come up with any name you want, bro.
You could call him Taylor because that is his name.
the kid Heineke, he's a gutsy player, and the team gets behind him. The receivers go after the ball way more than when Wentz is throwing the ball, and the defense puts up more of a fight. Now, where I know he's going to throw us the ball is because it was clear and present day to quit the fast and the hurry with the Minnesota Vikings, and he was throwing the ball. He was throwing the ball a lot to the other team. Minnesota just didn't want the ball, and then the officials got in the way a couple of times. I don't see them coming in here and getting the victory there. The team is in complete utter turmoil. They're still going to waver whether they should start Carson this week just because of the money. But you don't get from behind Heineke. I don't know why they went away from him last year, because he was actually one of the cooler parts of the squad. He's a tough kid. He fights and stuff. But we're going to kick that ass. He's like, he can fight all he wants to, but we're going to kick that ass. And you can't. I feel like our defensive line is going to impose their will. Our offensive line is going to impose their will. The way that I see this panning out is we're going to run the ball down their throat. We're going to take it again, and we're going to run the ball down their throat. Their defensive line was giving up the rhythm last week to Dalvin Cook. And the Minnesota Vikings offensive line, to me, is slow. And so it's like if those guys can come out and do that, I feel like our guys should be able to come out and do that. So it is a division game, so it will be fought tooth and nail. That first quarter and a half, until we stump their ass out, some people are going to be on edge and nail biting. But to me, once we impose our will, it's a done deal. All we got to do is make them quit, and then the excuses will set in. That's why I'm hoping we beat them with Heineke, because if they bring Carson Wentz back, oh, he's coming off injury. Man, fuck him.
If there's any indication in the whole Carson Wentz versus Taylor Heineke thing, I saw recently, I think it was like a week or two ago, that Washington had released, I think their design at least, for the season tickets next year. And it is Taylor Heineke that is pictured on there, Carson Wentz.
Probably pictured, huh?
we have a spicy comment in the chat I'd like to bring up, because it would add some spice to the show. Shout out to Raul.
Yeah, I saw this.
He said, you guys are too confident. It's a division game. It's the NFL. And any given Sunday, we have a target for being undefeated. Hope the players aren't too confident and show up and play. Well, Raul.
We play on Monday, Raul. That's one.
And Raul, I expect.
Secondly, we don't play. We could be confident as hell.
We could be as confident as fuck.
Exactly. Raul, I respect your comment here, bro, but yeah. I mean, we're talking about some four dedicated men that have been with this squad from the very beginning of the season, riding it out, and, you know, even from our worst to our best. So we could be as confident as we want, and I'm very confident, yeah. in going against this Washington Commanders team. They're
why
not
would
like
you,
that.
Why would you not be confident? What, exactly. What has this Eagles team shown you this year that would exactly. make you lack confidence?
I know. So
we deserve this.
Yeah, we don't get this ever.
We deserve this undeniable confidence because I've jumped on the confident bandwagon because to me this is a division game. And me being around the guys sometimes, it's like they're not worried about it being a division. They worried about it being a division game, but they're not taking that same air of confidence that we're taking. They're actually dotting the I's across the T's to make sure everything is done and make sure that they do the little things. Because when you stop doing the little things, that's when you start getting your ass kicked. Because you got to take care of all the little things. Pay attention to detail. And I see these guys continuing to pay close attention to detail and not getting complacent. And if that's what Raul was saying, we're fans. We can get complacent as fuck. We just as long as the players don't get that way.
And Hollis, I think you could speak to this as well. I think that, like, we've kind of entered a new mindset with this Philadelphia Eagles team. At least I have. Where if you're playing on – you played on some really good defenses. When you're playing on a really good defense, it doesn't so much – you forget about the fact that, like, the other team's scoring. You get pissed off when they get a first down.
Damn
like,
right.
I'm starting to feel that way about this team, even though we have – we got a two-game lead in the division right now. I don't want to give up one game. I don't want to give up a single game because that would piss me off. I don't want to see 8-1. I want to see 9-0.
When you said that, Ev, it reminded me of when we used to give up a 4 or 5 yard run. It was like, who got that gap? Who won in that gap?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's how I feel like we should be defending that first loss.
Yep.
Yeah, like going back to Raul's comment, I just wanted to, this whole thing about this football team, I've been paying attention to every damn little thing, anything they say, every little thing I've been paying attention to. So I feel like when it comes down to just the demeanor of this football team, the messaging from the coaching and the way that they're, taking to the coaching, going down to their play style, winning the games that they're supposed to win, finding ways to win, and then going back and then looking at the numbers. That's where you're showing a dominant football team. And I'm very confident in the matchups. When you look at the matchups, that's where I feel confident. Like once I start breaking it down, that's where I feel confident about this football team. And again, to echo what Hollis said, I feel, very, I could trust these guys, the leaders in this locker room. They've Jalen's locked in every week. The standard is the standard, and they still haven't played their best football, and they're still 8-0, and they're still speaking in that light. I'm very confident.
Bro, I go back to what I just said earlier, Mel, but like we deserve this. We've been waiting patiently to be this confident. We've been waiting patiently to have the squad that we got right now. I mean, we've been dealing with some secondaries that have just been so trash, and here we're blessed.
Remember Kerry Williams, bro?
Exactly, but we're blessed. We're blessed with the squad that we got right now. So I don't know about y'all.
I don't know how you are, but when I played, we had Troy Vincent.
No, you did. Oh no, I'm not taking nothing from your squad, Hollis. I love those guys, but like I said,
it's been a while.
That's all I'm saying.
So now
I'm having a good time feeling that again because I haven't felt like that since we had those guys. You know what I mean? So I don't know about y'all, and I don't want to speak on y'all behalf, but I'm riding this shit out. So, yeah, I'm going to be confident. I'm confident against anybody that we're going up to right now. Just like Gail said, I'm looking week in, week out, who we're going against, what they got to say, because every week there's always something. They're going to try to attack us in a different direction every single week. So, once we get this W, then we're going to focus on next week. What are they going to go ahead and attack us with now? You know what I mean? Oh, we're still not playing that tough schedule that everybody else is playing. Or, again, with the excuses, it's always going to be something, man. But I'm cool. I'm calm. I'm collective. I'm just going to go ahead and, take it 1 week at a time. Like AJ Brown said, we're not here about the perfection. We're going to take it 1 week at a time, and we're going to ride this thing out. That's it.
That's the best way to handle it, I think, as well. I think you just have to, like Nick Sirianni said earlier in the year, like treat it like a boxing match. Like you just go one round at a time. Well, the only thing you can focus on is winning the next round. Don't think too far ahead. Don't think about the last round. Just think about where you are right now. AK Eagles brings up a question, though, that has just been something – I didn't even want to bring it up. But this has been something that has been asked to me by plenty of non-Eagles fans in regards to this squad. And it is, guys, I have an honest question. Do you feel we have to lose a game to get battle-tested? He says, I don't feel like we have to lose, but how about you? No, man. No, I don't think that – I think that, like I said, we just have to continue rolling one round at a time. I don't think that a loss would benefit this team. I don't think it would destroy this team at the same time. But I don't think that a loss would in any way help us. So that's where I stand.
But I think the thing about being battle tested is when you battle tested that you win, you realize you find a way to win. I think we had a little test last week. We're playing against the Texans. The Texans came out and punched us in the mouth right off the rip. We came back down. We punched them in the mouth. They fought for a little bit. That was a meager test. I still feel like the real test is going to come with that first Titans game before we play the Titans, and we play a Green Bay team that's going to be coming in here to try to be relevant in the playoff hunt. Those are going to be two quality tests that you can't look past your opponents, your clear and present opponents, but it's going to be a test that's going to really test you. And if you come out on top on those, which you should, given the team that we got, then you really don't have to lose because you're going to be battle tested, and it's just how you defend the battle.
Now, the last time they played Washington, they were down 14-0 in the first half, and collectively,
I wasn't nervous at all.
People were like, okay, but
what was the score at the end of the game?
Exactly,
I don't even remember.
I do know we had They currently have 29. They've gotten 29 sacks, so they get to the quarterback, but they give up
24-8.
They get, So they wasn't up. They wasn't up 14-11.
it was like 24-8.
We were thinking about that Jacksonville game. Sorry.
I was thinking the Washington.
They scored 8 points until
the year before.
Okay.
Exactly. We had them donut for the majority of the game.
Yeah, for the majority of the game. Yeah.
If we are going to talk about some, all right, let's say Philly Sports Trip says Eagles undefeated since Hollis joined PST and fourth and John just now. This is true.
Facts.
Undefeated. Yeah, maybe I'm good luck. I don't know.
Yeah, it is facts.
the one thing about that battle testing thing. I do want the teams like the Titans. I feel like a game versus the Titans, that'll be a real test because it's a team that they're only gonna run the ball and they're gonna run the ball down your throat. They don't give a damn how many people you line in the box or what exotic you got going on. And that's playoff football. In the playoffs, once a team gets a lead on you, they're running the ball and playing keep away from your offense to keep your offense on the sideline and keep them cold so they don't build any type of momentum. It's like if they could do that and continue to run the ball down your throat and continue to get threes and dinks and dunks and get threes and sevens here and there, and they got the lead, it's going to be hard. You're going to be hard pressed at the end of the damn game to be trying to stop a run that you ain't stopped all damn day. And they'll just run the clock out on you, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. So I feel like that's going to be a quality battle test right there because it's a playoff team that's been to the AFC Championship game. That just took one of the teams that everybody feels is a Super Bowl contender in the Kansas City Chiefs to the brink of to overtime without throwing more than 10 passes. Picture that, though, without throwing 10 passes.
Yeah. If we're going to speak positive about some of the forces that may be coming in on Monday, every time I talk about Washington, I talk about the strength of their defensive line. Their defensive line, they have guys there. I always say, man, you have to pay. You got to pay money for some trenches, and this is what they've done. You look across the board. You got Jonathan Allen. He's been a
was getting his ass kicked last game. Continue.
What I'm, But he's third. Him and Deron Payne are third and fourth tackles for loss. Deron Payne, another Alabama alum, right? Deron Payne?
I want to say so, yeah. They were fighting on the sideline, though.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. You got Montez Sweat here. Montez Sweat, fastball off the edge. Montez Sweat?
Yeah, that's why he dropped in the draft.
Okay.
See, you know, didn't know that, did you? See, that's why I watched stuff. That's why he dropped now, in the draft. He's not playing.
Chase, they opened up the 21-day window for his return. Some Washington fans are out there saying that he could potentially. Maybe.
Cool. They haven't declared it first.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, potentially.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah, but he ain't been playing. I don't give a damn about somebody just coming off the sideline.
I'm just saying. I must talk about what
you can throw many names in the air as you want to. If that jackass ain't been on the side on the field playing, he is out of shape and he ain't ready.
Hey, at the end of the day, their defensive line is the strength of their defense.
They got a decent linebacker core too, though. They linebacker.
Well, their best linebacker is injured at this moment. So
yeah, but Davis has been taking over. This is what I do when I'm around bullshitting. I watch all the games or the teams that we are about to play, and Davis has been handling business. There was a reason why they were still in the game versus the Minnesota Vikings, who has a quality offense. Their defensive line. I felt like their defensive line was getting pushed around. They got pushed around towards the end of the game, and it was mainly because they were going for sacks. That's why they got 29 sacks in the NFL currently. I don't know where they ranked them, but they've given up 23 as well. When you look at this team, they have good linebacker play mainly because of Ron Rivera and Jack Punk-ass Del Rio. But their secondary is pretty vulnerable because they're doing a lot of grabbing and they get a lot of penalties against them in late in the games and stuff because they won't move their feet, but they'll reach out to grab you. The one thing that I do think that we could take advantage of them is why I say we come out and run the ball down their throat, because their defensive line is going to be going for sacks. And when you're going for sacks, your pad level is not low. Your pad level is high. Our offensive line should drive them down fucking Broad Street. So that's my kind of my assessment.
How many sacks did you say they've let up? Because I know they're giving up
23
against the Eagles.
Yeah, they gave
up versus the Eagles the first time. We played them.
Yeah,
so,
it's like they're giving up 23 total. So go ahead.
I just want to talk about too something that is really someone that has really been popping off these past few weeks. Like, I haven't had a chance to talk to you guys, but how about my man Javon Hargrave, man? My man.
You was talking about that earlier.
Like I said, I haven't been here for the past few shows.
Okay,
so how about that man, Javon Hargrave? He's been doing well, man.
You know, I got to get a big. You know, I'm always gonna give him a big dog that respects and propers around here, like Hammers respects and propers. You got to give the big dog when they show up and show out. We have to show them up. That's point blank. But I do think I'm gonna be looking at Jordan Mailata this game. Because that was the first bad game he had against the Houston Texans.
I was just getting ready.
I'm looking to see him exact what I call street justice and put his hands on some people. So that'll be one battle I'll be looking at this week. So
I want to break out like a little one of them guitars and smash it over Sweat's head, maybe. Maybe.
Probably. Something to that stature.
Now, again, like, you know, Will Jackson, one of their corners at the time, the last time they played the Eagles, he's been released. I think. Yeah. So, you know, they had some shifting because he was butt ass.
He was god awful.
You know, I mean, you look at that team last week against the Vikings. You thought, you're like, OK, is this team built for a comeback? And I felt like they were in a position where they, you know, that it kind of showed their weaknesses. You know, obviously we talked about Taylor Heineke's ability to get those deep shots. He hasn't really thrown too many balls deep. I think we'll just connect on three of them. So, I mean,
when you look at the deep shots that they threw, that was some lucky shit. The official was going to be back there to block a defensive back every damn time. He ain't gonna be in the way. It's like some of those was lucky, and it's the what I know what you're going for. The one thing that and this is what I said earlier in the show is the one thing that I noticed with his receivers versus when you have Carson there, the receivers seem to go after the ball more and fight for the ball more than when Carson is in there. It's like because Scary Terry in the Detroit game, when Scary Terry came back and took that ball from dude to put them in position to win the Detroit Lions game, I was like, damn. Had that been Carson, he probably would have just watched it be intercepted. Mm-hmm. I was like, but it's. I think this. What I was trying to say when I was talking about Taylor Heinicke was the fact that he puts the fight in this team. He's a leader, mm-hmm. and it's like when you have that, you gotta kick them in the teeth and make sure that they know we don't give a damn who lead y'all. We still gonna kick y'all ass.
I think leadership can only take you so far. I think at the end of the day, when it comes down to his skill set, I think there's a limit to what he can do. I think where you hope he could win in the intermediate game. I feel like our secondary can handle that. I know Avante Maddox is dealing with the hamstring mm-hmm. issue at the moment.
Pete's just in the comments trying to sign someone for the sake of sign. What benefit would OBJ bring to the squad?
And just like I said, just like when I was talking about the boy you was talking about that's coming back. I'm making a fuck you coming back off an injury. You still got to catch up to speed with everybody else who played 8 or 9 games. You're not going to be in shape. No, I'm just saying. You're not going to be in shape. You're not going to be in football shape. All the running on the side in the world is not going to get you in shape to be going against somebody your size or bigger than you, pushing your ass around, and then also exerting that type of energy on each and every play. Trust me, I've been suspended before, and when I came back, I was working out hard as a motherfucker. When I came back, I still had to play to get to play in shape. It's a whole different animal.
What's the toughest injury you ever came back with while you were playing house?
Torn tricep came off the bone. Mm. It's like it snapped up and went up like a
bowling ball up in your tricep.
Yep, pretty much. And then they had to pull it down.
Is that like eating wings without a bone? The meat just hanging.
There's no such thing as boneless wings.
Thank you, Alice.
That's what I'm saying. Like, is yeah.
You just got a fucking nugget. I don't know a nugget or a chicken strip. I don't know what the hell he'd be. Boneless wings. Like, you don't sit the fuck down. I'm just saying. I'm a food connoisseur.
I was listening to some Washington Commanders podcast, and they talked about, you know, when their Washington Commanders run the ball on the Eagles. You talk about some of their weapons, Antonio Gibson, you know, he's a guy who's was steady Eddie for them last year. I know some Washington fans felt a certain way about him as of late. They want him to get the ball more than Robinson. Mm-hmm. We all know that Robinson got shot. You know, but he came back.
Was crazy. Like it was like a what, crazy. Like 4 or 5 week comeback after getting shot. Yeah, like twice?
Something like that. Yeah,
insane, man. And I'm not gonna lie. Even as an Eagles fan, his reemergence onto Washington, where he had many men by 50 Cent playing as he ran out on the field, that was pretty badass.
That was badass.
Yeah, but you had to play that just because you got shot. I'm fine. I'm not. Sit your ass down.
Well, speaking of many men, there's many other players on this roster in the running back group. McKissick, they're passing down.
Is that a bad signal? Look, it's a dirty bag.
Yeah. So this is a sign here. His neck piece. For those who listen to the podcast,
it's a horrible Batman. Just saying. Like if you really look at the detail,
Batman is crooked.
You got one ear bigger than the other. You know,
that's a bat?
Yeah, I don't know.
You got an NFL contract. You got to get that touched up, my man.
Yeah, you got big time. And why do you have it there? I don't know.
He needs a new tattoo artist.
Yeah, big
Prime,
time.
Could you get him a new tattoo artist?
Absolutely. I'll put it down on the list.
I think their running game, as much as they would like to get their running game going, I really do feel like going back to the matchups and their offensive line, which has been musical chairs as of late. You know, their center got hurt early in the year. They've been, I feel like, again, this is where, you know, our defensive line has, or I mean, our defense has given up some runs. Do you think that is a concern, our running defense?
I don't want to say it's so much of a concern. I mean, we definitely just got to be prepared for it with the fact that JD's down for a few more weeks.
You know, it's the next man up mentality. You know, we got to go ahead and fill in the gaps. So I know the, you know, the next few teams that we're going to be playing in the next couple of weeks, they're going to try to attack us on that because of, you know, the fact that we don't have Jordan Davis playing. So I'm not worried. You know, the defensive line can still hold theirs. We got other people, you know what I mean, that can fill in that gap. So, you know, bring it. You know what I mean? I know they're going to go ahead and try to test us. So we're ready for it.
The one thing, and I spoke on this when we did the show without you, Evan. But Petty James. When we talked about this, I was saying when we were out with him, and we gave up all the running yards to Pierce for the Texans. It's like you could tell that we had a void there. And I don't feel like our defense coordinator. And this goes back to, I'm glad you're here, Ev, to back me on the Jonathan Gannon hate, because it's like a. Did you watch the game? You saw when he dropped the on that second touchdown pass.
I would not miss a game if my.
I'm just saying on the second touchdown pass that Mills had. Mm-hmm. Did you notice that he dropped the defensive end on the side that he fucking scrambled to, and then he's like, oh look, no defensive end.
The
other guys were rushing upfield.
Yeah.
When you dropped the defensive end. Why are we dropping? Quinn and
Reddick?
Why are we dropping them? They are quarterback killers. We're in the red zone, and you drop a deep end in the red zone. What the fuck's wrong with you? I don't know. And that's the one thing about the run defense that's going to piss me off. If he doesn't run some stunts and stuff, because if you got seven in the box, six or seven in the box, you need to run stunts to cut up the run. If you're going to try to cover everybody in the secondary like you're trying to do because you're scared, you know, bend but don't break. No, you just put pressure on the motherfucker and make him make a bad decision. It's kind of like late at night where you're out getting drunk. You know it's a bad decision, but you're drunk. Who cares? Just make a bad decision. Make them make bad decisions. I'm getting tired of this bend but don't break stuff. We're better than that. We don't have deficiencies on any level of our defense. We currently have a defense that should be putting motherfuckers on notice. Boom shakalaka, number one Chief Rocker. I am the Tank Dog.
I agree with you, House. I agree with you. But I mean, I can't sit here and say that our defense hasn't performed exceptionally well.
No, I'm not saying
they can. They can do better. Yeah.
No, but Ev, if you don't think that if our coach put them in an attack mode, like we've seen them at times, that we could shut a fucking game down completely. And not none of that passive aggressive shit. Like we gave up. Where's my notes? I wrote some notes for you. Yeah. Last game we gave up a drive of 9 plays, 7 plays, and 12 plays.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we doing giving up those type of drives?
That's what we should be doing.
The 7 plays, but the 9 and 12 plays, the end of touchdown. Are you fucking kidding me? We got a defense. Our defense is better than that. I'm sorry, but Jonathan Gannon needs to get fired like a motherfucker and put Vic Fangio in there.
Alice, we're 8-0. Nobody's getting fired at 8-0, Alice.
Now, fuck Jonathan Gannon, though. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We can't.
That's the next shirt.
We're going to be talking about winning the Super Bowl. House will be like, we gave up 400 yards. Gannon's got to get out of here.
Yeah, we didn't have the same momentum against Schwartz. I mean, he was worse. You know what I mean? So come on, like.
I did. Hey, that's like, you motherfuckers didn't know me. I was getting pissed at the shit he was running.
Get the shirt made, bro.
Yeah, fuck Jonathan Gannon. Right. Get him the fuck out of here.
There you go. Just get it made. Get your
run a motherfucking blitz. you know what? It's like you got an RPO. Okay, so when they come to the line, and they have an RPO. You know, RPO means run pass option.
Yep.
So if we have six or seven in the box, they're running against us. And most of the time they run against us because we have six or seven in the box. Jim Johnson says, when you have six or seven in the box, you have to cut up the run because you don't have enough guys to get in all the gaps. So you're running deficiency, but you don't want to put the secondary in the bind. If you're going to bend but don't break up front, don't break us up front either. Because I know they get tired of those big-ass offensive linemen knowing exactly where they're going to be at. And getting there and knocking the shit out of them, it gets boring. I'm just saying. This is me.
All right.
We have a new ticker noted. For when we have a new ticker. We say Jonathan Gannon around here. We'll put that up when Hollis. when we say Jonathan Gannon.
Wrap up the alarm.
Wrap it up. Wrap it up.
So
we're going to talk it to existence that we try to do on this podcast here. Who is going to be our offensive MVP versus the Washington Commanders?
I feel like, you know what? I mean, AJ has been balling out recently. I don't think that he has a bad game, but I feel like Devontae's feeling like he's getting lost in the shuffle again. I think Devontae pops off this week. I'm expecting a nice.
Who are you going with, Prime? I'm gonna let you go.
125 yard game out of Devontae.
I mean, even though Evan, I'm gonna go ahead and ride with Evan's choice as well because one, he owned the Commanders on the last game. I got to see a lot of those big plays while you guys were out doing your thing, so I enjoyed it. You know, and then props to Devontae Smith for giving us Philadelphia Eagles fans. You know, the comment that he made yesterday about how dedicated we are, you know, I mean, that we ride with our teams, not just the Eagles, with the Phillies, with the Sixers, with the Flyers, with the Union. We rep to the, you know, to the fullest. So that comment was really, it hit me yesterday. So I appreciate that he said it. And then on top of that, as I posted it in my story, I had a lot of people on the West Side shooting messages to me saying, you know, I mean, you guys do represent to the fullest. And, you know, I mean, for Devontae to come out and say that, that was big. So that's my guy going into Monday night's game because, like I said, he killed it against them last time. And, you know, Hurts is going to definitely hit him a lot on Monday night. So, yeah, I think Devontae is going to have a key game once again against the Commanders.
Now, I personally think Booby is going to be the culprit this week. I think he had a great game last week, and it just showed how angry he's running. I feel like this is a game that we finna put some motherfuckers on notice, that we are like putting somebody on notice means, okay, you're gonna try to run the ball on us, we finna run it down your throat. And not only will we run it down your throat, I feel like the Slim Reaper is gonna get some, but I think Booby is gonna be he's gonna be the catalyst this week. He's gonna be the man. I can see him scoring two or three times. Just because of the way that last week I watched Dalvin Cook put him on notice. I feel like Booby is a little bit better than Dalvin, and I feel like he's gonna run through him like a track meet.
I like it.
I'm gonna go Dallas Goedert. I think Dallas Goedert has been on fire. I think he
was MVP last week, wasn't he?
I think he
400 touchdown.
Yeah, the last time they played Washington, he was kind of like, you know, his performances.
He had that nice
sidestep
that game, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'm looking for the MVP game against Washington. I think their linebackers are in a jam at this moment. Mm-hmm. I think he should be able to feast in these seams again. That's where he's winning, man. In these seams, he's got it locked up. And then these tight end screens have been nice. The way that they're utilizing him down by the goal line was nice. I remember 2 weeks ago I talked about there's a play that South Dakota had. It was like the Philly special version of the South Dakota offense, and they ran it with Dallas Goedert. They almost ran it a similar play. They have like a running play that they run off that as well. I think that was very nice. I think we're just getting warmed up to his dominance. So I think that's my offensive MVP. Moving right along to the defensive side of the ball. Your defensive MVP, as for anyone who's coming in here, we're speaking into existence, who we think is going to be the defensive MVP versus the Washington Commanders.
Before we even answer that, I got to ask you guys a question. Does Chauncey keep the streak up?
Damn Skippy.
Hell yeah.
Dude.
If he does, he's the defensive MVP, man. Chauncey has been absolutely playing out of his mind. He has quickly rose to one of my favorite players on this team, man. This dude came to the Eagles and has been absolutely balling ever since he put on the uniform. He knows how to he's got a way to find the ball. I saw earlier that in his entire time spent in New Orleans, he had 5 interceptions. He's already got 5 interceptions in the past 4 games for us. If Chauncey gets another one, that's an easy defensive MVP right there.
It's a good pick on your end, man, because like I said, this guy's going to be throwing that ball up a whole lot, thinking that he's going to get some lucky plays like he did last week, and that's not going to be the case. But I'm actually going to go with a linebacker this week, man, and I think TJ Edwards is really going to ball out because of the fact that this guy runs around a whole lot more than Wentz. So I could see him really doing his thing. I'm actually calling for a linebacker interception this Monday, so I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, calling that one.
I'm going with one of the big dogs up front. I don't know if to make it Josh Sweat or Hassan Reddick, because it's kind of up in the air. Because Sweat always has success against the Commanders.
Well, you got to see what Gannon's going to go ahead and do. Is he going to drop the defensive ends back?
That is true too. But actually, you know what?
They might get coverage, bro.
For his health purposes, do not do that, Gannon.
I just killed the vibe, didn't I?
I did big time.
Ring the alarm.
I know. Well, now I'm gonna say Hassan Reddick shows up this week.
Appreciate you, Jason.
I think Hassan Reddick gonna show up this week because I think he's primed and ready to quit getting dropped in coverage, and hopefully they deploy him and run him on some more of those ISO stunts between him and Quinn, Quinn. That's like so. Mm-hmm. It's like Quinn. He's had success when he was with the Bears. He had a lot of success against the Commanders. So it's going to be between those two older guys that are going to step up to the plate and really put them on notice. Because I think Taylor Heineke is going to get out of the pocket a little bit, try to get out of the pocket a little bit. And I think them being on the outside and our inside, the inside presence of the big dog will get them to more of a few sacks.
That ISO exactly stunt versus
sorry.
No, I was saying that ISO stunt versus the Steelers was a way to set the tone. Like you come and hit Heineke like that first drive, first series. Let him feel the brotherly love.
Yeah. For sure.
I'm gonna go Slay. He'll be my MVP. I think we'd like to see
somebody's round nose.
Nah, man. Every time I said this I'm the eternal monologue is like, watch me say Slay and watch someone say.
You know, a comment was coming, man. I was actually looking at Evan. I thought Evan was going to be the one to say something.
Now, see, I'm going to have to show you guys in person what an ISO stunt is. It's right here. It's what a defensive end slants back inside, but it's the two adjacent men slant towards him, and the other guy, he takes a step upfield and slants back inside after they clear everything out. That's what we were seeing versus the Steelers. Okay, it's an ISO stunt.
You know
it's coming because you'll see the coach either do this or this.
You want to email that to Gannon so he has it?
Well, Vic Fangio ran it. So I knew it wasn't in Gannon's repertoire. That's so many run stunts that I have in my Arsenal son. I still have all my notebooks from when I played, so
Now, if you guys in the chat, shoot us your questions. I know we've been answering some of them earlier.
Yeah, because I have a play to go to.
Are you going to a play tonight? Well, yeah, Broadway?
It's not Broadway. It's called Feed Me Phil. It's a dude that's in what's the name of the place? Kinsman Theater.
Okay.
Yeah,
here's a question for you, Tank. My boy Jason's asking, what do you miss about being on the field?
Miss the checks like a motherfucker. you know what? I miss knocking the shit out of somebody. Just the chess game that you play when I come out the huddle on game day, coming out the huddle, looking at and breaking down what the opposing offense coordinator has in store for us on each and every play. And seeing it unfold the way that we've been practicing all week, and what my film study takes it, I was like, it's so much. I didn't realize how much stuff that I processed in that short amount of time just to make a play. It's like I go through the week and I used to write down all of their favorite run plays, because the first 15 plays that they run, that's some shit that they just practice all that week so that they can get you off guard. You have to get to the run plays in which they run the most. It's their bread and butter. And then you get all the formations that they run, all the different formations that they run screens out of. That's why it always looked like I was in their backfield, because I refused to run all the way upfield for this motherfucker to throw the ball over my head. It's like, psych, and it's running back behind me. I would always grab the running back, or I would knock the shit out of the running back, or just follow him and try to get an interception. But they never threw it, and it's tremendous. I just missed that. The chess game we played with the offensive coordinator, opposing offensive coordinator.
Now, Heath brings up another question. I heard a rumor that the Commanders owners might sell the franchise. I hope they don't, man. I want him to be there. What do you guys think of that?
He's already hired Bank of America to look for potential buyers to help him sell it. And they've been trying to run him out for a minute, but yeah. it's taking him so long because he has so much shit on everybody. And it's so funny to listen to them talk amongst each other because it's like, really, dude? It's like, come on. It's like, you're too grown for this shit.
The heat is really coming down on this dude. So, I mean, I could see him definitely getting pushed out of that stadium real soon.
The heat is coming down because, you know, Roger Goodell has something to do with some of the comings and goings of it.
He's in hot water too, man.
Yeah, he's going to be in hot water. And the main reason he's in hot water because his contract is up as well. Yeah. So you think they want him back as commissioner? I highly doubt it.
But at the same time, like if you look at just the growth that the NFL has had during Roger Goodell's
tenure, but now your commissioner is in hot water with the team in the media that has to do something with the government. I don't give a damn who you are. Watch your hands clean of somebody who's got something to do with the government, because a government is really undefeated when it comes to prosecuting civilians.
That's for sure. Actually, yeah. You want to talk about undefeated?
Ask Freddie Mitchell.
Yeah, I think this might be the, you know, unfortunately, this might be the time that he might have to.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
Because I want him to be there, because as long as he's there, he'll keep messing everything up. Just the same as you know, like
I think that that's just
as long as he's around, he's gonna keep messing things up.
Franchise game. I agree with Evan. Was gonna turn it around.
You know, I agree with Evan, man. I agree with Evan. I think whoever gets put in it,
there's a lot of drama going on. I love that for them.
That's fun. And I see any owner that comes in there next, I think it's going to be the same problem, man. It's this cursed franchise, like Evan said. It's cursed. That franchise is cursed. So I think, yeah, it's a lot, man. It's a lot that they got to go ahead and fix. And I don't think it's ever going to get fixed.
The attorney or the guy that was bringing up this civil case against Washington, he was throwing in jabs left and right. He's like, on a Monday morning after they lose, nobody cares. Like, you know,
wow.
Like, nobody cares. I was like, wow. Like, aren't you talking about a case right here? He's throwing salt on the wounds. It's like, he's like, I'm from here. Like, but back in the day, like,
I grew up a fan. Yeah.
Okay. I'm currently getting calls now because I'm supposed to be walking out of the door and they're watching me on here. So I'm going to have to bid you guys adieu until next time as I go to see. It's called Feed Me Phil.
Hold on. But before you go, I just want everybody to know that the real reason we are still undefeated was ever since this day. Okay? Ever since this day. So I wanted to make sure that you caught that, Hollis. All right. That day is the reason why we're still undefeated. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm a one up you on that one.
Yeah, Enjoy your play, Hollis.
All right, if that head get hurt since MVP, yeah, he
this guy's going to be watching the play. He's got a
I'll see you guys later.
All right,
go Birds.
Go Birds.
My score is Birds 35, Washington 15.
I like it.
I like it.
See you guys later.
All right, got the Gators on? He got his Hulk-colored Gators on.
Is that 15? He thinks they're going to get 5 field goals against us?
Yeah, that's about it.
No, it's good. So Jimmy says here, Hurts the MVP?
I wouldn't. I mean, that's to me the easiest option to pick. I think that if you know Jalen Hurts, I feel like any one of these games that we've had could have been named the MVP. Aside probably from the AJ Brown 3-touchdown game. I mean, that was just obviously AJ. But Jalen has been the main reason that we've been having success this year. So you could always tie the MVP to Jalen.
Bro, the turnaround on Jalen is just ridiculous right now. I mean, like. Just from last year going into this year, I mean, like, I'm just so impressed with this kid. week in and week out, man. I love it. I look forward to seeing him play every single week because, you know, he brings, again, he brings something different off that table onto the field. And then he's quick to go ahead and mention, like, look, man, I still got some shit left on the table to go ahead and bring out. Yeah. So it's just like that's – I love the attitude. I love the leadership that he's bringing every week. So, you know, his confidence level is crazy. He's reading that defense a whole lot better. I mean, he's gotten so much better on so many aspects. Like, it's just great to see, and I love it, man. So, yeah, he's definitely in that MVP category for me. I know there's other players in the league right now that are doing their things, but, I mean, we're talking about somebody that just did a complete 360, complete 360. So, I mean, like, respect's got to definitely come to this man this season for sure on the way he's playing.
Yeah, I hope he gets the respect he deserves, man. I mean, he, like I said, he's been the main reason that we are 8-0. And if we continue to roll on the way we're rolling on, I don't know how you give it to anybody else. But I think that ultimately there's going to be people that look at they point to dumbass stats. Like maybe he ends the year with like 25 passing touchdowns or something like that. And they'll point at that and be like, is that an MVP performance? It's like, well, if you look at the rest of the stats and account for everything, yeah, it really is. But yeah, no, I hope he gets his flowers.
The MVP talk, I think it's legit. I think right now he's playing phenomenal ball. I think in terms of bringing this team together, when you look at the totality of what he's doing, what does he mean to this football team?
Everything.
His plays took another level. You know, before the season, everyone was asking, you know, can he take his game to this level? He's obviously done that and then some. I think as a leader in the locker room, I think that's elevated another notch. So I feel like he's playing MVP ball. I think he's the reason for the season right now. And as a whole, he's keeping these guys grounded and telling them, we ain't won nothing yet.
And I hate to be the everyone versus us guy, but it tends to feel that way a lot of the time, man. I mean, you know, the
Phillies versus everyone.
I know, but like, I don't know what else we have to do to gain more respect, man. The whole conversation about
difficulty
of schedule, dude. One of my best friends, he's a Bears fan. He's telling me how Justin Fields all of a sudden is the best quarterback in the league. Like, have you been paying attention to us all year?
It sounds like my brother, bro. Yeah. Dak Prescott, you know what I mean, is like, God. So yeah. Like, I get it. I can relate. Yeah. I mean, it's always going to be something different every week, man. Like I said earlier, it's always, you know, it's what you got to expect that upcoming week. What's going to be new that they're going to talk about or that they're going to pursue, that the reason why we're getting or we're so lucky on being at 8-0 right now and this and that. It's tiring to hear, man. It's just not going to stop. So no matter however you look at it, it ain't going to stop. It's not going to end there. It's just going to continue. We could be done the season and they're still going to go ahead and come up with excuse, like, you know, shit about us. So, hey, man, bring it. I'm cool.
Now Jay in the comments says they say Gannon will be pursued for a head coaching job. He said, that's a effing joke. He said, if it wasn't for lockdown corners, Gannon's soft zone would be trash. The thing about Gannon, and then you're gonna see this throughout the league. Their owners like certain coaches. I feel like they might see Gannon as one of those guys who, you know, they'd like to, you know, him be one of their coaches.
If he's gonna go anywhere, that's the only way I could just see him going.
Don't you think Steichen is the better candidate?
Well, he's also another candidate. Yeah.
So I'm just saying that, like, if I was plucking someone from the Eagles, I personally would rather pluck Steichen than Gannon.
Well, it's also like presence too, you know, like in terms of like, can you run a whole football team? Like if they're seeing what the Eagles saw in Sirianni, is he a guy that can lead a group of men? And then the fact that he was the offensive coordinator, and then they gave that job to Steichen. You guys have met Gannon, right? Have you guys met Gannon?
I mean, he's in my – no, I haven't, actually. Well, I mean, briefly, after the Commanders game last year out front of the bus.
I did meet him at one of the Eagles autism events. And, you know, my takeaway from that – I was like, dude has presence. But again, we'll see, man. It's funny for like the way certain people feel about Gannon when we're sitting here at 18-0 right now.
So Adam Michael Gibbs brought the question, took the question right out of my mouth. But if we end up losing Steichen, we welcoming Frank Reich back with open arms? I am.
Hey, I love Frank, man. Frank did his job. Yeah.
As an OC? Why not?
As an OC, I'm okay with
it. Well, I mean, I'm saying maybe they have a change of scenery, you know? Maybe they want someone in-house who has been, you know, Brian Johnson. QB coach,
yeah.
He's been a big presence around Jalen Hurts as of late. So, but hey, everyone loves Frank. That should be a reality show.
I mean, he does have that connection with Sirianni, doesn't he? Didn't they spend that 1 year in Indianapolis together?
Yeah, it's true.
Just saying.
They did.
Todd says, did you all hear him on the New Heights pod?
No, everybody's Jalen been Hurts. Talking.
Yeah, I got to. I've been working all day. I haven't had a chance to listen to it. That's going to be
right after this. I listened to some pieces of it. He did say that he didn't think the Eagles were going to pick him. He thought the Steelers or the Vikings. He thought it was going to be either Steeler or Viking.
I actually heard him say that when before the Pittsburgh before the Houston Texans game, when they went to Houston, they had an interview with him at one of his hometown diners. And I forgot the female's name, but that was interviewing him, and that was one of the things they were talking about. They were talking about that quarterback class that he had with what's that coach that used to coach the Detroit Lions? I can't think of his name right now. When he said he made the comment. What was it? God, man, I just went blank right now. He made a comment, and everybody was like questioning, like, you know, what did you just say? I can't
think. It's that Mota.
It was something he said, but she asked him, like, you know, did you feel that the Eagles were going to go ahead and pick? And he was like, no, I thought Tomlinson was going to go ahead and actually pick me, because, you know, we were talking, he was reaching out to me. Yeah. He was reaching out to me, and I really thought I was going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. So yeah, I heard him mentioning that last week.
Now, Andrew Balchunas, nice play on words there. Melada was playing off last week. Is it just an oddball thing? You know, at the end of the day, I've heard linemen speak on it. You know, you really don't, you know, once you make a mistake, you give up a sack, that they talk about you. And it's very rare to see Melada on multiple plays give up some pressure off the left side. But I do feel like, you know, I'm sure they'll clean some things up. There's definitely some miscommunication out there probably.
Yeah, that was a bad series. You saw it. We were here watching the game.
Yeah,
it was stressful. It was like back to back.
A week ago,
back to back plays that he let that dude just right by, and you know what I mean, Jalen got sacked like two out of the three times.
You're the man, Todd. You're the man.
We didn't even pay you for that one. Now Brett says, do the Eagles blow the Commanders out? I mean, we did speak on it.
Prediction, because I'm ready for it.
Bro. Go ahead, hit him.
All right, so here's how the end of this game is going to play out. Washington is going to be marching down the field during garbage time. I say marching loosely. They're going to be making their way down the field during garbage time. They're going to get in field goal range, but out of respect, they're not going to kick that pointless field goal. 24-0 Eagles.
Wow.
That's how it's happening.
I like
Primo.
I'm actually going with a 30 banger, man. But yeah, I do think that you know, it's a different outcome from Wentz and Heineken. So I see Heineken maybe, you know what I mean, making something happen. So I'm gonna go ahead and say 35-10.
Let's see. I'm gonna say I do think it's gonna be a throttling. Again, we're playing in Philly. There's going to be a level of juice there. It's a Monday night football.
Pete, for the love of God, man, what is wrong with you? Washington's going to.
Hey, I'm not even talking about Pete's comments. I'm talking about I'm answering my question here.
He like testing me, man.
Yo, I'm just going to say, I feel like it's going to be an ass bust. It just is.
That's not a score. That's just a statement.
Blowout. I'm like, I'm going to say 30. I'm going to go 31-14.
All right.
They haven't been putting up numbers, man. Their offense hasn't been putting up numbers. They put up numbers to amount of where they're at about, what, 17, 16 something points a game. We're averaging 28.
That's insane. We're averaging 28 points a game.
Just to be able to say that is just like, wow.
Hell yeah.
Let me make sure that I got the
And that's not even like that's averaging 28. With like not even having like a 50 burger on your screen. Like we're just steady getting high 20s, 30s, and yeah, Jeremy, I am saying out of respect because that stuff does happen. Yeah, have you ever seen a team that has been marching down the field and then if they kick a field goal, it's not going to make a difference in the game. You don't fucking kick that field goal, bro.
I'm laughing at Pete over here, man. He's going ahead. It's like, what did he say? He said, man, shut up with this. You get
yeah. Meanwhile, we're here, sit here 8-0. This man's been who's been asking for? OBJ.
OBJ.
What you want, OBJ? You want to pay him extra millions when you have Quez Watkins, who's taking the top off defenses? And he's underutilized, so you're gonna bring OBJ in here, who's also gonna be underutilized.
Oh, man,
just tore. How many times did he tear his ACL now? Twice.
OBJ twice. Yeah, and he's in his 30s.
Yeah, and he's 30 in the Tybo class.
In the Tybo class, Tybo ho.
Go make some curry. All right. All right. Right now, you should be making some curry because you know that curry stinks sometimes. It has that.
Where does OBJ even fit in the offense, Pete? Where? Like, who are you taking off the field? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Quez and his healthy legs for a guy with two torn ACLs.
Is OBJ a leader that you're like, I need to have that guy in our locker room, or is he a dude who is ring chasing? But at the end of the day, like. Yeah, but it would be awesome to have another guy. But no, we're already underutilizing people in this offense.
Our locker room vibes are perfect right now.
What is wrong with this dude? Did you see this? He said, take off Smith. What?
Pete's just saying shit. Pete, you just discover weed.
I mean, you go week in and week out. There's different weapons that we use. And this is what I like about our offense, right? You can choose a different weapon each week and win in different ways. Like against Washington, we're going to take advantage of their cornerbacks and their secondary. We might not have to run the ball on them like we did on other teams. We'll throw it deep on y'all. No, Pete is a good dude. We met Pete out.
We met Pete
out in Arizona.
He said, I think – Mark said, I think Pete got hacked.
Him and his lovely wife, they're both real people and not trolls.
great people for sure, man. Great people for sure.
Now, I saw a quote, not a comment from Birds Huddle 92. He said he's going to come out to tailgate with us.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
That's what's up.
Yeah, I mean, the tailgate should be a live one. It should be a live one. This is tailgating in its purest form when you get a Monday night football game.
Should we give them the correct time right now?
Because it'll be 2 o'clock.
It'd be 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock the what?
7:30.
2 o'clock the what?
7:30.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
We're not doing this again. 7 o'clock.
And this is your game, right, Primo?
This is my game, but I want to be inside that damn stadium.
I was gonna say if
it's, I got pissed off last week because that man didn't get inside the stadium on time.
I was like, you know, if you need to go home, sometimes you don't gotta wait for me.
No, I do.
Get home.
But you know how I am.
I don't want you to miss the game. I don't.
You know how I am. I always make sure y'all good.
I do not want you to miss kickoff though.
Yeah, I get it, but I always got to make sure y'all good because you know what I mean. You know how clowns are around it. Nah, I'm good. I get football every week. I'm good with that. You know what I mean? But I always got to make sure y'all good. So, but 7 o'clock.
Bob says need safety depth. Who would you want, Gil? Is Jaquiski still out there? No. Is Jaquiski still?
Yeah, but
I'm just talking.
I'm saying we had him on the team and he did.
I'm talking about from a standpoint of like a guy who's like learned the defense already.
Yeah.
Because at this point you're like, that's the part where you're like.
That's the Temple kid, right?
A guy that came from the 49ers.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I forgot about that.
Is he still out there? I mean, again.
But why? What do we? I mean,
we're talking about Jonathan Abrams.
So what? He got signed by the Packers. Okay.
He got signed by the Packers.
Yeah.
Because you know who wanted him? Pete.
Yeah. Chat. Of course.
You're gonna want a guy who is. I'm very concerned about Kayvon. If I'm being honest.
Yeah, and that's understandable too, man.
It's definitely a concern, man. It's definitely a concern. Because if there's anybody that we would need to switch out, it would definitely be him, man. Because it's just like, I mean, it was dreadful watching him on TV the other night while we were here watching that game. It was just like, before you got here, that first touchdown that they scored on us, I mean, it was bad. That tight end made him look silly as shit. Just, you know what I mean?
Like, the one thing I can't wrap my head around, though, is that, like, where's Reed Blankenship, man? Like, he was the guy that had been
I know you had big hopes.
We were vying for, like, during the preseason.
You had big hopes for Reed, but I don't know, man. There's something out there.
I don't understand why Kayvon Wallace keeps getting the nod whenever, you know, they need to go out on the field. I think that I would at least like to see what Reed could do, man.
Does it go back to, like, what Tank would always mention? You know what I mean? Are these guys just with their pride – don't want to show that they made another mistake by drafting this kid so early, and here he is.
Yeah, but like, when wasn't Kayvon drafted in like he was drafted day three, wasn't he? Like, he was like fourth round guy.
I thought he was
third round.
Yeah, third round.
I mean, still, that's not a guy that like.
I get it. You're right. Right. Well, I mean, we gotta say, like, I know at one point, a lot of people were even comparing him to, you know, B-Dog. Because
he played at Clemson.
Right, he played at Clemson. He had that agility at the school level, but here at the pro level, it was just a whole different ball game.
And then we also when we had Derek Barnett coming out of Tennessee, people were comparing him to Reggie White.
Maybe we just
let these guys.
I mean,
Avon to me is the new Derek Barnett. So Derek but
anyone who watched Derek Barnett come out of college knew that he wasn't Reggie White.
You know, I mean, for sure. Anybody.
But when they kept running with that, I was like, could you stop with the whole Reggie White stat? Like, leave that alone. I went to Tennessee right before the season. Shout out to Mallory, me and Mallory. And I'm looking at the
pictures up on the stadium. Yeah.
At the stadium, you see the big photo of Reggie White, and there was like that's a legend. Like, Derek Barnett did some things in Tennessee, but he wasn't Reggie White. Big Fish Little Bo asks, y'all cool with our kick returner? He's a guy on the cheap, you know, he's there to hold things down. Can they bring Gainwell back there?
I don't know, man. I think Covey, you know, seeing Covey play, it's just like comical at times because it's like, you know, he's going to get smashed.
And it's like,
He does have the heart, but my man be taking some shots, bro.
You got Gainwell back there. You could rock with Gainwell. You could rock with the Quez if you have to.
If I'm being real with you, I think that I feel like this is another one of those positions where our Eagles team is doing so well right now that we're just looking to swap things out because we're so used to complaining about stuff. Yeah. I mean, if you look back, I mean, I was a huge supporter and backer of Aaron Sipos in the whole off season because everybody was saying, you know, this team, we need to switch out the punter, blah, 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 blah. Dude, like, you just got to let these guys go. I don't think that Britton Covey has done a bad job. He had that one muff. I'm giving you that one. But in all honesty, just because he hasn't had a run back for a touchdown, does that mean that he's been doing a bad job? He's been getting some okay yardage. I think you just got to give the guy time, man.
Yeah, I mean, we're all about giving him the time. I mean, look, I'm not taking nothing from the kid. I think he's a stud, man. I mean, I wish those guys would block a little bit more for him because it just seems like they're also feeling the way I'm feeling. Like, oh, shit, he's about to get hit. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's just like a show that you're just waiting there patiently to see.
But no, I mean, he's doing his thing. He's holding on to that ball. Besides that one muff, other than that, there's really nothing else you can complain about. You know, he's doing his, you know,
I would bring G Ward back to that position.
Yeah, why not switch it up a little bit? I mean, at least give Covey a time to rest.
That's what I mean. Like, I'm not sitting here like steadfast saying that, you know, oh my God, you know, we need to switch Covey. I'm indifferent about the position. I think that it's just an overblown thing that we're talking about.
Here's another thing. Everybody's asking about Trey Sermon. Where's Trey Sermon at? I mean, do you put him back there? Can he return punts?
Nah, he's too big.
I was about to say, because I mean, if you want to see the guy more often, just put him back there. Then, other than that, there's no reason to bring Sermon up.
Britton Covey was a talented punt returner at the college level, and that's why he's
talented here. At the Tennessee level.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, Britton Covey, he returned some kicks against Washington, not Washington. I mean, Ohio State. What do you have one against Utah? I mean,
didn't he play for Utah?
That's not Utah. I am losing it against Ohio State. I think go back and watch his punt returns. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the reason why he's here. So, again, I wouldn't mind bringing back bringing people in to challenge him at the end of the day. Yeah, man. I know Prime, you had your food already, so you're not hangry at all. No, by any means?
I'm good. I'm still hungry. I mean, I still would like to eat some more, but I'm good.
Ev, did you eat yet?
I had a suicide mission. I had a meeting before this that I had to be attentive to, but I was starving. I knew that we had the show afterwards. So I ran down to the local pizza joint and grabbed a couple slices. And I got back to the meeting literally at the perfect time because it was about to get thrown back to me. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm just walking in the door right now.
Yeah, I haven't eaten yet, man. I'm still in NYC. There's a lot of food around the corner. There's a Taco Bell.
Be safe out there, man. Be safe out there.
Why? Because something happened in New York City?
Nah, you know, we were just talking about New York City,
bro. Cities at night. Like,
just get home.
I live in the city, and I know that shit ain't nice.
I've only worked here like 20 something years.
All it takes is one day, bro. I'm just saying, be safe.
You know the amount of crazy shit I've seen in New York.
You've told me. I know.
Oh my God.
That's the regular, bro.
I've been seeing like the local crackheads. I'm like, how did you survive the pandemic?
Dude, I was driving. That is a mystery to me too. But I was driving down 95, middle of the day, probably like a month ago or so, and all of a sudden at like 1 o'clock, 12:30 in the afternoon, I hit like standstill traffic. Which, like, why? Unless there's like an accident or something, I just assumed there was an accident. And I was down by like exit 21-ish. I finally get up there, and there was just a naked crackhead walking up 95.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, yeah, I guess that's Philly, I guess.
Yeah, Philly's on one lately. But yeah, man, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to eat. That's how you know I'm hungry.
Yeah,
go eat. We haven't talked about food in a long time, so I figure we bring up some food.
I'm surprised that we got to an hour and 16 minutes or so before it finally came up. Usually that comes up around the hour mark.
But yeah, before we get out of here, just want to mention up in the beginning, we want to give a shout out to Philly Sports Trips. If you guys are looking to make a trip to Eagles football game, I know someone in the chat earlier said, are we going to Chicago? I'm looking forward to going to Chicago. Evan, we're not sure yet, but I know Prime has talked about pizza and the shows that he watches that are based around Chicago, so he wants to be in Chicago for that reason.
You watching Chicago Fire Department? What was that show?
PD. I watch Chicago PD. I don't watch the other ones, but Chicago PD is my shit. And then, you know what I mean? Transformers.
Transformers based in Chicago?
Transformers, they had some scenes in Chicago. Yes, they had some scenes in Chicago.
It's not Chicago. He says Chicago.
Chicago.
Chicago. But for Philly Sports Trips, they have the Bird's Ultimate Chicago Trip, December 16th through 19th. That's December 18th is the game. They have the Ultimate Bus Trip to MetLife Stadium, December 11th, to watch your Birds go beat the Giants. speaking into existence. That's what we do here, Peter. If you don't know about us calling for Super Bowls on this podcast, I've done it already. Check the resume. Birds. I'm just joking, Pete. Birds Ultimate Indie Trip and Holy World Combo, Boston College, Notre Dame, the Indie Trip that weekend. I'll be missing out Indy, going to a wedding that weekend. But, yeah, man, just want to give a shout-out to Philly Sports Trips. They've been doing a damn thing. We went on some tremendous trips and look forward to going on some more. As we close out, last word. Prime, you want to start?
Yeah, man. Again, stay tuned for Monday, Club John. Make sure you guys get there early. We mentioned that earlier in the show. You have to get there early because these parking lots have been getting real crazy. Proof in the pudding, as Evan, all right? And I'm definitely not trying to meet him across the street to be carrying the grill over as well. But no, if you guys want to see a good time, I know a lot of people have reached out and I've given them the details about Monday. But we're going to be there very early, holding it down. I'm looking forward to it. Always try to make these tailgates as epic as always. So, you know what I mean? Without you guys, nothing is possible. Have a safe week. Looking forward to seeing all y'all on Monday.
Yeah, dude, I'm happy to be back, man. I hated that hiatus. I was away from the podcast. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody on Monday night. I've gotten into my Christmas mood way earlier than usual. I've already been decorating the house.
All word.
I went and bought a Harry Potter train set that's set up around the entertainment center.
What?
Yeah, dude. It's getting sad over here.
Is it because of all the winning?
Huh?
Eagles win? Is it,
I, dude, to
Eagles
be honest, Delta,
are you feeling a certain way?
So you, as sad as this is. So I was in Aldi the other day and I was just doing my regular grocery shopping. I saw a train set that was on the clearance rack and I was like, all right. I'm in the Christmas mood. And so I got it for $30 and it's reselling for like $90. So frugal gang to the day I die.
Oh man!
Oh god!
Todd says people were asking about your medicals, Hollywood, because you were missing for so long.
Medicals are fine. Work, you know, just been busy.
Darren says Evan's been missing the pod to watch Hallmark Christmas movies. LOL. that's fun. Trains, dude. That's
dude, I just got excited. Well, I saw it. I'm not like a train guy. I just saw that and I was like,
you know who's a train girl? Autumn is a train girl.
Yeah, be careful.
Yes. But you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. This guy.
Autumn collects trains. Autumn collects trains.
We're bringing it out. We got a train. Yeah, she's really into the train set. She ended up hooking me up with two Eagle trains nice. To be a part of the set. So yeah,
I would say he said set. That's a train world. They got a whole. Yeah.
It's a whole town. Yeah, it's a whole town.
I've been thinking about getting the Extendo track, bro, and doing Train City through my house.
Oh my god.
This guy's really in the mood, man.
I'm all Christmased up, bro. I'm in the Christmas.
I don't think I can follow it. In closing, Eagle fans, again, we started out the show confident. And there's a reason for this confidence.
It's
the proof in the pudding. You look at the way they're moving. You look at the messaging. You look at the way that the numbers are set up. These guys are doing some tremendous things. And again, week in and week out, they've showed and proved who they are as a football team. Obviously, it's a long season. We're halfway there. We're not living on a prayer. Teams are coming in here saying their prayers because it's a dominant football team, great coaching staff. And at the end of the day, great fan base. The fan base in here is amazing. I'm talking about this is the best fan base in the NFL right now, and we're traveling. So I'm super geeked about the Eagles right now and what they're doing. So I don't want to hear it. Keep up the confidence. Keep rooting on your birds. Come out to the tailgate with us. Keep on chugging. Time with us. Keep on chugging. Monday night starts at 2, goes to 7-ish.
Ish. Okay.
Seven-ish. But we do want to give a shout-out to Bud Light, last but not least, and Conchi Bakery for always, always powering the tailgate. We appreciate you guys and hope to see you at the next tailgate. And Pete, I hope you're listening. Speaking to existence, we're going to win on Monday. Go Birds.
Go Birds.